We are doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Chaf in Machon Shalem edition, Chaf Chet in the Mishor edition, Nun Bet in the Masada Rav Kook edition. And the Aran is in the middle of a thought, and he says, V'lazeh, and therefore, being that the Torah is different than all other religions, the Torah gives us promises in this world, promises that you cannot deny, promises that no other religion can give you, and therefore, lo tzecha Torah lamshich Yehuda l'inyanei olam haba, the Torah did not deem it necessary to speak about the world to come. Aval hamshicha sipura l'inyanim shemamtim ze bli safek. But rather, the Torah allowed us to know about the world to come, in passing, so to speak. The Torah gives us this knowledge that there exists a world to come through the stories. And through the stories, you understand that this concept exists. Just as, for example, the whole story of Adam, like the Ran said earlier, the whole story of Adam in the Garden of Eden is to tell us this concept, there is another place. The world does not end here. The whole beginning of the Torah with the story of the Garden of Eden is to give us this concept, to let us know that the world does not begin and end on planet Earth. Good point. Good point. It's a good question. Maybe.
Words of question. I thought the Garden of Eden was here. It wasn't the planet of the universe.
The Gemara discusses that Eden really means the shelf that's by the window. Does that have a name in English? The windowsill. Yeah. So Gan Eden, the garden on the windowsill. So the Gemara discusses is this whole world, like just looking out a window of the Garden of Eden. The Gemara has a discussion. How does that work? Like where is that? Interesting. Never heard that. Okay. V'inyana akedah, and by the same token, when God tells Avram to bind his son, so that also indicates the concept of a world to come. Kilu haya misafek Avram Avinu alav ha-shalom v'inyana olam haba. Because had Avram Avinu doubted the concept of the world to come, she'achshov she'agmul v'onesh yeh ba'olam hazeh levad, and had he thought that punishment and payback were in this world alone, ech yakod bi'adav bno yechido, how could he, with his own hands, bind his single son, Hanolad lezikunav, that was born in his old age, miyiratop en yasigen onish ba'olam hazeh? What was his fear? If I don't listen to God, he'll punish me here. So what? So how could I do this to my son? Aval Torah shaya yoda viveru. Aval Torah, but rather this proves shaya yoda viveru sha'olam hazeh umaseh otov vehevel. He knew that this world is vanity. It's vain. It's all fleeting and passing. V'shakol ka'ayin v'chefes neged agmul, and all of this world is like nothing compared to the payback that's still waiting to come. Hame'utad, that's waiting for us in the future. Kumo shepatach kohelet sifro v'amar, just as Ecclesiastes begins his book and says, Havel avalim amar kohelet. Kohelet says, everything is vain. All of this world, it's all passing. V'chatam, and how does Ecclesiastes seal off his book? He ends off by saying, Be'omro, sof davar kol nishma et Elokin yirahav. Shlomo says, ultimately, when everything is known, everything is heard, the most important point is, be a God-fearing person. For that is the essence of man. So Shlomo HaMelech also says, this world is passing. The essence of humanity is not in this world. Ken haTorah imshicha inyana kulam al zeh atzad. So too, the Torah, just like Koheles, kept reiterating this point in passing, that this world is not the end all. Aval inyano nohe kefi avodatenu umorienu umerienu. But says the Ran, aval inyano, but the world, the way the world functions is that it's corresponding to the way we function. V'chi Hashem itmarach Bar'o me'ain bo'tzio la'yesh. God created the world from nothing. The world doesn't have to exist, like Aristotle thought. God created the world because he desired to create the world. V'chein ki yeshna ki yeshane inyanav tamid v'yatikotam. God, whenever he wants, could change the way the world works, could change the laws of nature, can undo the laws of nature. Me'ashel yotze lefanav me'inyano. Whenever he sees fit, depending on God from his perspective, what he sees is right. So what points did the Ran make so far? He said the Torah didn't have to focus on the world to come, because quite the contrary. The strength of the Torah is that the Torah is the only religion that makes promises in this world. The second point the Ran made is that the Torah does give us the knowledge of a world to come, but it gives it to us in passing, from the story of Adam in the Garden of Eden, from the story of the Akedah. And just as Koheles says, the main point of this world is not the life down here below. The ultimate world is the eternal world, and this world is a world which is fleeting and passing. So too the Torah gives us the concept. And in this world, two things. A, we have the capacity to, so to speak, pack our bags and do things well so that this world goes well and in the next world it'll go well. And so too we have to recognize that this world is a world that God created because he desired. It doesn't have to exist. And God could change the laws of nature down below. V'lachen anu maskirin tamid. And that's why we continuously mention b'tfiloteinu u'mo'adeinu, in our prayers and in our holidays, zecher litziat mitzrayim. This is to commemorate the Exodus from Egypt. Gam b'mo'adot she'inam nimshachim im yitziat mitzrayim klal. Even in holidays that seemingly have nothing to do with the Exodus from Egypt. Kmo Rosh Hashanah v'yom kippurim. For example, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We say, Zecher litziat mitzrayim. Was Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur have to do with the Exodus from Egypt? God gives a holiday, the beginning of a year. We say, that's to commemorate leaving Egypt. God gives a holiday, Yom Kippur, where we atone for our sins. We say, that commemorates leaving Egypt. What's the connection? Mipnei she'inyan ha'hu, because that concept, that God took us out of Egypt, took control of the laws of nature and changed them, with the 10 plagues, with the splitting of the sea, that whole occurrence of the Exodus from Egypt, hora she'Hashem yitbarach chafetz banu, that taught us that God wants us, umanhigeinu, and God is guiding us, umoreinu aderech asher na'aleba, he's showing us the path to go up to el ha'olam elyon, to the upper world. Now here there's a point which, as we read the Ran, we'll have to ponder a little bit. On the one hand, the Ran is saying the Torah promises us things in this world. On the other hand, he says this world is but a fleeting moment, and the world to come, that's the long, long world, and that's the essence. And that's why Avraham was willing to bind his son. And we have to wonder whether the Ran in this paragraph is arguing with the Kuzari. The Kuzari makes a very strong point. The Chaver says to the Kuzari, the essence of the Torah is in this world. The Torah is not a Torah for the world to come. The Torah's focus is this world, here, down below. The Torah wants us to live life to the fullest here. Yes, there is a world to come, but the Torah's focus is nonetheless the way we live life here. And I'm not sure if the Ran means to disagree with the Kuzari or not in this paragraph. When the Ran says, Avraham, it was simple to bind the son if God said so, because he knew that the essence isn't down below. Had the essence been this world, then what does Avraham have to fear? God will punish him. Well, then so what? But if there is no world to come, how could he do this to his son? There's room to ask a lot of questions about this Ran. I'm not sure exactly how to understand this paragraph in the Ran. I don't know. Bezrat Hashem, when we get back to the Ran again, hopefully we'll be smarter when we get to this drasha again next time. Maybe we'll understand it better. But I'm not sure what the Ran means here. Meaning his point, I understand. His point is that there is a world to come, but the Torah promises us things down below. And we should know that the world to come, well, that's where things are worthwhile. Because this world, even though the Torah does say things will be good for us if we keep the Torah in this world, but at the end of the day, this world is passing. Understood. How we balance this with the question of what's the focus, I don't know. The Kuzri made a point of stressing the focus is your service now, here and now. We're not a nation that lives thinking of the afterlife. Our focus is not what'll be after I die, but rather how I perform mitzvot here. The Rambam too, in his epistle to the Jews in Yemen, the Igeret Teiman, stresses the point that the Torah guides us how to live life to its fullest down below here now. It's the best way of life. Is the Ran disagreeing with them, or is the Ran just stressing a different point? I can understand the Ran both ways, and I'm not sure.
What's the Ran's ultimate point? Because it could make sense that he's not really stressing focused, saying
right.
That there is no stress, that it exists in both worlds.
Could be. I agree. We could understand. That's what I said. I could understand the Ran both ways. I'm not sure.
Right, but in the ultimate general picture, what is the Ran trying to...
That's why I think maybe as we go through the next speeches, maybe we'll keep this question in mind and we'll see if we have other indications of what the Ran means. I'm not sure here which point he's stressing. And again, this is his proof. This isn't his point. Meaning his point is that the Torah saw no need to overtly discuss the world to come. The Torah teaches us the concept in passing from other stories. And then he proves it from the story of Abraham and the story of Adam and Rishon. The proof, I'm not sure how to understand. And you understand? It's not like the Ran is saying, well, this is my point. He's saying, this is the proof to my point.
But even those proofs were lessons in this world.
Right. That's the question. I agree. I don't know. Umipnei zeh, and therefore, being that we have all these miracles that indicate to us that God created the world. We have the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Kasher itchil noten haTorah yitbarach b'inyan chidush haOlam. Just like the Torah begins with the concept that God created the world, mipnei shehu shorash haTorah v'yisodah kasher enachnu. The Ran had explained that the Torah begins with creation because this is the fundamental point of the Torah. This is the root of it all. God created the world. That's why the Torah begins with that concept. Ken chatam Torato beotot umuftim asher niru al yedei hanavi haneman beretz Mitzrayim. So too the Torah concludes with the miracles, the signs that were seen by the faithful prophet in Egypt. Ve'im heyot she'amar, and although the Torah concludes with ve'lokam naviot b'Yisrael kemoshe, the Jews never had a prophet like Moshe asher yido Hashem panim el panim, that God knew him face to face. The Torah saw a need to mention that in the end because not everyone knew that Moshe was the greatest prophet. And we already discussed this 2 weeks ago, that you see, even Moshe's wife thought that, well, there are other prophets among the Jewish people. So the Torah saw a need at the end of the Torah to make two points. To tell us Moshe was unique, and then to tell us L'chol ha'otot v'amoftim, what are the last words of the Torah? To all the miracles and signs that Moshe Rabbeinu did to the eyes of the Jewish people. Amar od, the Torah adds and concludes with L'chol ha'otot v'amoftim asher shlachah Hashem nasot be'ot Mitzrayim lefaro, etc. U'l'chol ha'morah ha'gadol u'l'chol ha'yad chazkah asher asam Moshe l'einei kol Yisrael. The Torah concludes with what's the last point the Torah makes? All the miracles. Moshe was the greatest prophet who performed all the miracles in Egypt, to Pharaoh, and to the Jewish people. And that's how the Torah ends, with Le'enei Chol Yisrael. That's the Torah's conclusion with these miracles, because these miracles are really the root. Just like the root of the Torah is that God created the world, the root of the Torah is also the miraculous way that God took us out of Egypt and brought us to Sinai. And this brings us to the conclusion of the first drasha. Bezrat Hashem, next week, we should be zochet to begin the second drasha.